In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good evening. Thank you for being so patient and waiting for the stream to begin. There were certain things that needed to be attended to in this time. In fact, I didn't even know that I was preaching until just a few minutes ago as well. So that's always a joy to have. Before we get into, let's just go ahead. Today's the feast day of San Martin de Porres, this great saint who is of the same city. San Martin de Porres is also San Martin de Lima, just like St. Rose of Lima, patron of our parish. Here we gaze upon these two saints who are never united in life. Maybe they didn't even know of each other's existence so much. We know for sure that they did not interact in any way, though they were baptized by the same bishop of that very same city, Saint Cyrilius of Mongrovo, who was the great bishop saint of Lima at that time. Yet they never encountered one another. San Martin was a great wonder worker on the same level, we would say, as that of Saint Padre Pio of our modern day, performing many wild and great miracles. If you read in the annals of the saints, as well as not being a priest. Why wasn't he a priest? He was because the fault of his birth. Not that he was merely born low, which he was born relatively low, but that he was a mulatto. What's a mulatto? Somebody who was of mixed race. His mother was an African slave of that sort of class, of that race, and his father was a Spaniard. And so because of that, the Spaniard said, no, you're impure, you have too much of that dark-skinnedness, that African slave in you, so we will not accept you. And the Africans would not accept it because they said, no, you're not of us either, for you're too fair-skinned. You are too Spanish for us. And so he was rejected by all. In fact, his father would not even claim him. So he lived in that way. Yet he persevered. He persevered in the goodness that God had given him and didn't take his state of life to say, the world is evil to me. The world is doing all sorts of grave things against me, so I will rage against this machine, which is the state there, and seek to tear it down. He would not say that. He refused to say that. Instead of turning his anger out there toward the world, he turned to the Lord with great, immense love. Because he knew that even if my people and my father rejects me, even if my mother's people reject me, there's one who does not reject me, and he claims me. And he claimed me in the waters of baptism at the hands of that bishop, Cyrilius. Baptism, which made God his father. And that made all the difference within his life. That set him in a way where he could be just like so many people are this day and during these times, rioting and attacking and saying that the world should change because I have been slighted in some way. He said, no, I am not made for this world to begin with. I am made for the world which is to come. And so I will turn to him who is in charge of this world and the next world, and he will be my recompense. He could even attack the church and turn against the church. Why? Because he knew that God had called him to do something great. He went to the Dominicans where the priests who were there at that time and wanted to join their order, and they wouldn't let him in. They wouldn't allow him to study for a priest despite his great gifts and great devotion. Why? Because he was too native, too mulatto, not pure enough. He could have turned against the church there, right? So the church even rejects me. God, your church is against me, not giving me what I know I should be able to do. Rage against the church, reject the church. But he didn't. He said, that's fine. I will accept God's judgment. He is my inheritance alone. Isn't that beautiful? So what did he do? They accepted him as a wee lay brother. A wee lay brother. And so he did the wee lay things that he could. Washing dishes, tidying things up, being the one who answered the door as a porter. Remember, we talk about porters and how they have such a lowly job on a totem pole, but yet so many of them become saints. Isn't that curious? Something that accepting that low state and loving through that. out of humility, of recognizing God is my Father. And so because of that, God bless him, that great humility. Sister Anne would tell you, were she here, that his great friend of the downtrodden, not just the poor men and poor women, who he was known as Saint John the 23rd said in his letter of canonization, they called him Martin the Charitable, because he would go throughout, and even from his poverty, he would give what little that he was given over the poor, his food, whatever it was, and go the rest of the day fasting, just so that someone else could have something. But he also took care of the little woodland creatures. Not just woodland creatures, but even things that you and I would be dismayed to see within our homes. Little animals. Not just the cats and dogs, which he's often pictured with. The little things around his ankles and the statues. The little mice. The mice. He's so tender. Even to those things you and I would call rodents. Let's poison them and dispatch them. Yet, Martin the Charitable took charity even on those lowest creatures. So what should we learn from this great saint, great Martin? This great saint of the church who performed many miracles, who despite everything that the world threw at him, those who were in power and those who were not in power rejected him. Even the church turning against him and not giving something that certainly should have been granted him. We should learn from San Martin a sense that God is in control. There's a lot of anxiety in our country right now. Maybe you're feeling it. I don't know. But maybe you're feeling it. That maybe things are going to go this way after tonight. Maybe in the next few weeks things are going on. There's so much places that are being boarded up. A lot of anxiety going on. Learn from San Martin. It doesn't matter what those who are in power do. It doesn't matter what those who aren't in power do. It doesn't matter even what those who are in the church in power do. This is the real one who has authority and power. He's right there in the box. Right there in the tabernacle. God is in control. Christ is the king. Christ is the king. And where does kingship began, and where is most importantly, he sits upon the throne of my heart and your heart. And if we allow God to be Christ the King in my heart and your heart, just like he was Christ the King of Son of the King's heart, if you recognize that you're the Son of the King and invited the banquet, even if you weren't the ones who were most desired to come from the beginning, as it speaks about in the gospel, even if you find yourself among the poor, the crippled, blind or lame, because your son has hobbled you so much in his life. Or maybe you're one of the ones who is hiding among the highways and the hedgerows. Those who nobody will even look upon. If God is your Father, if Christ is your King, that means you're a son and daughter of a king. And whether anybody else recognizes it or not, he says, come to my banquet. In just a few moments, if you prepare yourself for a worthy way of life, a holy confession, he's going to invite you to his banquet here on earth. Instead of receiving it, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the great blessing of the Eucharist which you have, you may be prepared. Prepared for that banquet which knows no end to the halls of heaven. As the scriptures say,